Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Tim Horgan, and I'm the Executive Director at the World Affairs Council of New Hampshire. We're here today with Dr. Melinda Negron-Gonzalez of the University of New Hampshire to talk about the assassination of Washington Post journalist and Saudi national Jamal Khashoggi. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So can you provide us with a little background about yourself and your connections with Turkey?
Sure. I'm a professor of political science at UNH's Manchester campus, where I've taught international relations and comparative politics for the last 10 years. And I've been researching Turkey for over a decade and was a Fulbright scholar to Turkey from 2006 to 2007. And my most recent trip to Turkey was actually this past summer for the presidential and parliamentary elections.
And you were looking at the social movements within Turkey.
Yes, and my latest research project looks at how activists and journalists and human rights lawyers counter-terrorism policies.
So safe to say you know a little bit about Turkey.
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. So what do we know about the murder at this point and how it played out?
So Jamal Khashoggi was a Saudi national who was living in the U.S., working for the Washington Post. He entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and was never seen again. The Saudis, of course, made numerous denials and put out implausible stories about fistfights and whatnot, and finally acknowledged this week that he was indeed killed in a planned operation, though they have not implicated Saudi leadership in the killing.
Any thoughts as to why Saudi Arabia would carry this out?
Well, Khashoggi was a critic of the Saudi monarchy and especially Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who's also known by his initials MBS. And so despite talk in international circles and in Washington, D.C. about MBS being a reformer, Khashoggi actually warned in his writings that the Crown Prince was, in fact, cracking down on journalists and activists more than is typical in Saudi Arabia, and was responsible for civilian deaths in Yemen. So he was seen as a critic of MBS in particular.
Relying a bit on your expertise here, it seems like Erdogan is playing a large role in bringing information to the international stage. How is this being received in the international community?
Indeed, Erdogan is arguably the main reason why this story won't go away. And the international community is running with the story. European governments, Canada, the U.S. have all made public statements about this.
So it's been speculated that Erdogan's trying to use this moment for his own geopolitical advantage. What's your take on this?
Yes, of course he is. This isn't to say that Erdogan is not genuinely outraged by the assassination.
Sure.
This Saudi act was an egregious violation of international norms. But Erdogan clearly also sees an opportunity to tarnish the Saudis' image, especially Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's image. And that in turn undermines the deepening U.S.-Saudi relationship.
So how does the U.S. factor into all this?
So, first let me talk about Turkey and Saudi Arabia, and then I'll explain why this has implications for the U.S.-Saudi Arabia relationship, because Turkey and Saudi Arabia have an interesting relationship, and Erdogan is the main reason why this story won't go away. He clearly wants to tarnish Saudi Arabia's image because Turkey and Saudi Arabia are basically regional rivals. And their rivalry has actually intensified in recent years. So Turkey has historically faced West with its foreign policy tied to NATO and the EU. So for much of its history, it was not actually deeply involved in Middle Eastern politics. But of course, that changed with the rise of President Erdogan's pro-Islamic AK party, which has sought to play a much deeper role in the Middle East. This, of course, runs counter to Saudi hegemonic aspirations in the region. So basically, you have two countries, Turkey and Saudi Arabia, that are vying to be the dominant Sunni power. That being said, we should keep in mind that Saudi Arabia is actually one of Turkey's biggest foreign investors, and the two countries have had a rather cordial relationship. Nevertheless, there are some issues on which they vehemently disagree. The two big issues that I want to talk about here are Turkey's support to Islamists in the region and the deepening alliance between Turkey and Qatar, both of which the Saudis see as threats to their national interest. So Erdogan's been really very deliberate about portraying his AK party as a model for Arab neighbors. And under Erdogan's rule, Turkey has developed significant ties to other Islamists in the region, including the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And here's where this Turkey-Saudi rift really intensified after the Arab Spring. So if you recall, Mohamed Morsi, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, won Egypt's presidential election in 2012, much to the chagrin of the Saudis. The Saudi monarchy sees the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamist parties like them as an existential threat to the Saudis' authoritarian monarchical rule. So, there's been a showdown in Egypt between the Muslim Brotherhood on the one hand and current President Sisi on the other, who actually ousted Morsi in a military coup and then declared the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. So, the Turks have been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Saudis have been supporting President Sisi in Egypt, and this scenario has actually played out in the region at large, where Turkey and Saudi Arabia are supporting different actors. And then the actor that we have to bring into the story is Qatar, because Qatar sparked the ire of the Saudis for the same reason the Turks did. The Qatar was supporting Islamists too, including the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And for this transgression, and also because Qatar is friendlier to the Iranians than the Saudis are comfortable with, the Saudis and its Gulf allies imposed a blockade on Qatar back in 2017. And who came to the rescue? The Turks. Erdogan sent food. The Turks increased their military presence in Qatar, again, much to the consternation of the Saudis. So those are two of the primary reasons for an intensified rivalry between Turkey and Saudi Arabia. And then, on top of that, there's another layer to all of this, which you inquired about, and that's the U.S. How does the U.S. factor into all of this? So with respect to the U.S.-Saudi relationship, Erdogan would really like to drive a wedge between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, mostly because the Saudis are arguably more powerful than they otherwise would be without their strategic alliance with the U.S. So the U.S.-Saudi relationship is pretty longstanding, but has grown even deeper under President Trump and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And Erdogan sees MBS as a problem, because MBS has been a problem to Erdogan. So if you've paid attention to how Erdogan has framed this situation, the killing of Khashoggi, you've seen that he's trying to pin the blame for Khashoggi's death on MBS specifically, which would enable Erdogan to drive a wedge between MBS and the US and make MBS look bad globally, but it would allow Erdogan to maintain good economic ties to Saudi Arabia. So he's trying to play this balancing act between making MBS look bad, driving a wedge between MBS and the Trump administration, and also maintain decent economic ties with Saudi Arabia. And of course, the Turkey-US relationship has been fraught for years now, and Erdogan is hoping that his cooperation with the Americans on this Khashoggi investigation will sort of ingratiate him to the Trump administration, and maybe they can start to mend ties there.
Do you think the assassination will have any lasting effects on regional power structures?
I actually don't think this will have a significant impact on the balance of power in the Middle East. The Saudis and the Turks are going to continue to compete for primacy. If anything, this assassination may weaken MBS's position inside Saudi Arabia, but I don't foresee this incident weakening Saudi Arabia's regional power in any meaningful way. The caveat that I will add, however, is that the killing took place against the backdrop of Saudi Arabia's intervention in Yemen's civil war, where it's embroiled in a proxy war against its archenemy, Iran. The Saudis are responsible for thousands of civilian deaths in Yemen. And so this high-profile killing of a journalist provides ammunition to those people who want to portray Saudi Arabia as a murderous regime run amok. And this may matter as countries, including the U.S., talk about blocking arms sales to the Saudis. And in fact, Germany has already done so. The European Parliament put out a non-binding resolution to condemn Khashoggi's assassination and to encourage European Union countries to carry out an arms embargo on the Saudi Arabia in response for the killing. And so in that sense, it may impact Saudi power and Saudi Arabia's ability to acquire the arms that it needs in the short term, but I think in the long term, this incident won't have any kind of really meaningful impact on the balance of power in the region.
So do you see Erdogan as being successful in driving this wedge through to in between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, or is that a pie in the sky kind of goal?
I think in the short term, Erdogan has won simply by generating global opprobrium toward the Saudis and forcing the Trump administration to openly criticize the Saudis. I think that the Saudi-U.S. relationship is very durable, and Trump has really played up the U.S.-Saudi relationship as a cornerstone of his grand agenda for the Middle East more broadly. So I don't know that this is enough to drive a wedge between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, but I do think in the short term that Erdogan is definitely won. That being said, paybacks are hell, as they say, and the Saudis, and especially MBS, will not forget this. What happens to MBS moving forward, I don't know, but clearly Erdogan is going to continue trying to pin the blame on him, and so we'll see if Erdogan in the short to medium term is actually successful in sort of undermining MBS's power in the Saudi monarchy as a whole. That may be his biggest win. I don't know that that's going to happen.
So there seems to be a lot to unpack here, and a lot to really understand, and you could probably, and maybe you will soon, create an entire class around this kind of thing. But
sure.
for our audience here, what would you say the biggest takeaway from this international saga has been? What makes this story so compelling?
The killing of a journalist by his own government is a very tragic story, but we wouldn't expect it to stay in the news for weeks. So I think what makes this Khashoggi incident so compelling is the backstory for why this continues to be talked about weeks after the killing. It's the backstory of why the Turks won't let the international community stop talking about it, and that's the stuff of international politics. So I think for people who are not following the region closely, I mean, you know, I'm an IR professor, so I literally get paid to follow events closely, but I think for people who are not in tune with the politics of the Middle East region, this is an introduction to a relationship, Turkey and Saudi Arabia, that they probably didn't know much about until now, and it's a window into the world of Mideast politics, America's role in this, America's relationship to two of its most important allies in the region, and how those two allies don't necessarily see eye to eye. And so there's a lot of different layers here, and I think, if anything, it's that backstory that has made this killing of a journalist story so much more compelling than it otherwise would be.
Sure. Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We hope to keep a lookout for future timely interviews on international topics. Thanks so much for listening.